This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hob, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful. We're good. Are you ready for your peeps?
Yes, I am.
Good. Let's get started in Libertyville with Steve on the score. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Listen, I think there's been a little bit of thing here. First of all, I think Trubisky is a lot better than what we've seen. I know what you guys are saying, and I saw a lot of that too. But if our offensive line is not blocking into the second level of backs, we're not going to be able to run. Last week there was very poor blocking up front. No quarterback could have done any better with that poor blocking. Now,
there are many quarterbacks that could have done better.
I don't know. I mean, maybe, but let's put it this way. I think he's going to be better than what
and,
you guys.
You know that Trubisky didn't play last game.
No, I know. I understand that. But I'm saying even if he had played, I don't think with that poor blocking, we would have been able to do any better than we did. We just did not block very well in that first part of that game. It was very, very
important. Right. Do you have a question for Hub?
Hub, listen, what do you think about the fact that they did not play any preseason games? And the fact that may be having an effect on why they're getting such a slow start.
Well, Steve, I mean, I've been outspoken for a year and a half now about the fact that I don't think they should play a ton in the preseason, but I think everybody absolutely should get some game reps in the exhibition season. I think the old formula where you play maybe the first series in the first game, maybe the first two series in the second game, maybe the first half in the third, and then take off the fourth or take the first series again is the way to go. Over a period of time, you're getting reacclimated to game speed. All you have to do is look at their performances in the openers the last couple of weeks. And by the way, everybody held up the Rams as another great example. Well, things aren't going so well for them either at this point. That's just, I believe that. I can't think of another major sport which doesn't play far more exhibition games and doesn't play their regulars in almost every game. It would be unheard of not to have a pitcher or a hitter or a three-point shooter or a goalie not get some exhibition action. So, that's my opinion. I think that there's plenty of, proof out there that it's probably the better way to go. It's not the way Matt Nagy's gone the first 2 years. We'll see now that he realizes that it obviously has no impact on injuries. We'll see if he changes it up a little bit next year.
The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Watch the Chicago Wolves take on the Rockford Ice Hogs tonight on My 50 Chicago. Then get out to Allstate Arena tomorrow and Sunday to see the Wolves battle the Ice Hogs and the Milwaukee Admirals. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Here, after a week in absentia, is Frank in Oak Park with Hub on the score.
All right, thanks for filling in for me, guys. I'm going to pick up on that offensive line issue, and I think we know Hub's feelings about a lack of snaps in the preseason, but a lot of the Bear problems, of course, on offense can be traced to issues on the offensive line, particularly when blocking in the run game. I want to avoid hometown stupidity in how I look at this. The coaches and front office people you talk to from around the league, do they view this as a personnel deficiency, or instead do they track this to a scheme that's too easily read by opposing defenses?
Well, Frank, it's hard for me to speak to what other, coaches and GMs around the league would see. I think that in terms of personnel, talent, and quality, when I talk to, and we don't have this conversation as much now as we do with our sources during the offseason as these teams are being built, I think the perception is that the Bears have better than average offensive line talent. There is pretty much unanimous consent from the scouts and folks I've talked to that James Daniels, amongst the five remaining now, probably has the biggest upside, that he's the guy who is going to be a star, that Cody Whitehair can be very good at the position. Massey and Leno are viewed as average to above average tackles. That's kind of the overall reports I get when you consider everybody you talk to. Now, as far as what's going to happen at guard, I don't think, you know, Ted Larson was the only one limited in practice yesterday. That knee is obviously still a bit of an issue, and he is so valuable because he can play left, right, or center that I don't think plugging him in at right guard is the way to go, and I don't think it's what they're thinking. I think it's pretty obvious Rashad Coward is going to get a few weeks to prove, you know, that he's worth developing there. And if he shows that, great, and he has shown some signs that he might be. But I've been saying again since pretty much the summer OTAs and rookie stuff that Alex Barrs is very, very impressive. And I think there was always a plan to create space for these two at the position. That's why they redid Kyle's contract. And so, you know, what they can be, I don't know because we haven't seen him yet. So I guess the best answer is that it's average to above average talent. It's not the best, but it's certainly not talent that you can't win with, because if you talk to people about the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line, you're going to get a pretty similar scouting report.
In Melrose Park, Vince is on the score with Hub. Hey, Vince.
Hello, boys. That's a good segue into my question in regards to the Chiefs. Is Andy Reid getting the correct praise or credit that he deserves in regards to his legacy? It seems like when the Chiefs are winning, Pat Mahomes is getting a lot of the praise, and when they start to struggle, that's when Andy Reid's name comes back up. I'm just wondering if he's actually getting the credit, you know, that his coach colleagues get when they're being successful. I'm just wondering, where does he actually stand in his coaching career?
Well, I think he's in a rough spot because he is, I mean, in terms of total years as a head coach, I believe only Belichick has more experience than he does. I don't know how he and Sean Payton match up off the top of my head, but and he gets a ton of credit as much for all of his tremendous accomplishments as well as his coaching tree and the coaches that he's developed. But he is never going to be mentioned with the greats until he wins a ring, you know, and that's, we talk about this with quarterbacks, it's even more so with coaches. And Andy Reid is one of the all-time great NFL coaches in the regular season. And then, you know, come playoff time and you know, trying to get to the Super Bowl, his teams have had their struggles. I'm not saying it's his fault, but that's the end result. And that if you get a sense that maybe he's not being revered enough, that would be why. You know, as far as criticism, I wasn't hearing any criticism of Andy Reid for what happened the last couple of weeks. There is obviously water cooler chatter this morning about whether Mahomes should have been running quarterback sneaks last night on a gimpy ankle. Well, he didn't damage the ankle. He damaged the knee. Mm-hmm. And if it is what we think it is, which was the dislocated kneecap, that's pretty unusual on a quarterback sneak. So, you know, you can challenge him all you want, but I'm not sure that criticism is fair.
Hey, Hub, while we're on it, interesting on Twitter this morning, our radio.com sports colleague Ross Tucker floated this. He said, if, in fact, the MRI comes back and it says that Mahomes is going to miss more than the three-week minimum that they know for now, that Colin Kaepernick would be an absolutely ideal fit with Andy Reid. And, in fact, Andy Reid had hired the former Nevada coach as an assistant consultant to come in at one point to help him diversify and modernize his offense. So there, it's already a near-perfect place for him. Do you concur?
Yes. Guys, I wrote the column last week that the Bears should sign Colin Kaepernick, and an overwhelming majority of people who read it, you know, sent likes and compliments and whatever. But then, of course, the other side of the spectrum comes out of the woodwork, yes. And I've wasted a fair amount of time trying to be polite to those people this week, which is the appropriate thing to do. I'm not, you know, complaining about that. But somebody has to explain how a guy who is clearly in the top 25 of NFL quarterback prospects has been unemployed for 2.5 years now, when there's been at least 65 to 90 that have been employed. And so I don't know that the Chiefs have any more, you know, that Clark Hunt has any more of an appetite for it than any other 31 owners. I think it's wrong. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ripping off your fans by not doing the most you can do to be the best you can be at the most important position on the field. But it is the tack this league, these 32 owners have taken. And so while it would make sense, I wouldn't just automatically assume that they would go ahead and do it.
The other Frank, who always comes out on Fridays, is here now for his turn. Frank in Lakeview, you're on the score with Hub.
Yeah, I didn't realize that there's going to be so much Kansas City stuff before you got to me, but this is really about scouting, I guess. What is it what were they not seeing about Mahomes when he was, you know, in college that caused so many people, including yourself, to be hesitant about him? Or the flip side of the question would be, what did they see that caused them to be hesitant about Mahomes? What was wrong with the scouting?
Well, Frank, and by the way, Frank, you're not the other Frank to me. You're all my Franks. thank you for calling. It's a great question, because there's a bit of a misnomer being bandied about with Mahomes the last couple of weeks that this gives me a chance to set straight. Two things. Number one, it was a gimmick offense. And even though there's now a team in the NFL playing something similar, Kingsbury's air raid offense isn't the exact same thing now. But quarterbacks out of, quote, gimmick or all pass offenses or pass first offenses had never made it in the NFL. There wasn't one, you know, who had been any good. Mahomes is literally the first. Now you got Gardner Minshew doing some nice things in Jacksonville, but he hasn't exactly arrived, you know, the way that Mahomes has, and we'll see what Kyler Murray becomes. But at that time, it was a fact that these guys didn't play well in the NFL. The other one, and this is kind of this misnomer, all of a sudden I'm hearing these people talking about how, you know, Mahomes hasn't been quite as good the last few weeks because his ankle has not allowed him to move around and come out of the pocket and run the football. He doesn't run the football. He is not nearly the athlete that Mitch Trubisky and Deshaun Watson are. He's not a bad athlete, but he's not that type of quarterback. You know, he can extend plays in the pocket, but he's not a guy who's going to come out and be effective running down the field. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it was another, you know, mark on the scouting report. Now, the flip side of it, though, is that I think everybody knew this. His arm talent is otherworldly. And the closest to it that I've ever seen is Brett Favre. I think Favre and Mahomes' arms are, in all the years I've been doing it, a league above everybody else's. But he did not always show the accuracy or the ability to make these incredible plays from awkward positions. And that is athleticism. It's a different kind of athleticism. Mm-hmm. So some of that was still unknown when he was coming out of school.
This segment is sponsored by Nutrisystem for Men. See how simple losing weight can be with Nutrisystem. The meals come to your door, you eat the food, and lose the weight. Order at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details. Southside, here is John on the score with Hub Arkish.
Hey, Hub, a quick question for you. Something I've noticed with the Bears is it looks like the weapons aren't as explosive as we thought. Tariq Cohen isn't getting open as much and isn't doing quite as much. Robinson and Gabriel have been great, but the tight ends haven't been as effective. Anthony Miller hasn't gotten open as much. And while I like David Montgomery, even when he runs, it seems like he doesn't have that last gear, like, to be explosive. And I think that, along with the offensive line and then with Mitch's troubles, I think it's kind of been this perfect storm, right? And then the league always adjusts once they've seen the offense. But I really think that the weapons just aren't getting open. Some of those mismatches just don't seem to be there. Are you seeing the same thing, or maybe I'm just reading too much into it?
Well, you know, John, I think there are games where people are all over Trubisky and claiming that they, from their TVs, are seeing open receivers, and they're really not correct in that. You never know, particularly against zone defenses, when there's backs that have dropped into coverage and are trying to, you know, game you into making a throw into a dangerous area. So I don't think that there's been, you know, receivers running open that Trubisky has been missing. However, I also am not going to, you know, I think the extension of what you're saying here is, well, we overrated that talent. No, I don't think so. I think the problem is the Bears don't have a running game. Now, you can decide who you want to blame that on, whether it's the offensive line, the running backs, or the coaches. I believe it's all three, and you spread it around and you get it fixed. But when other teams, when defenses know you cannot run the football, they don't have to commit extra people to stop it. That allows them to drop extra people into coverage, even when they're playing man, and that makes it a lot more difficult for these receivers to find open seams in zones or to separate in coverage when there's a safety over the top, even if there's a corner playing man on you.
So, wasn't this always a pass-first offense? Wasn't the idea to use all this, the fun horizontal schematic stuff to find open guys, get the lead, and then run to win the game?
Well, I think it was, you know, there are some people who believe, we used to say you establish the run to set up the pass. Some believe you establish the pass to set up the run with this, but at the end of the day, the other teams running this, the Chiefs, the Eagles, are pretty much middle of the road or top half of the league in run-pass ratio in terms of having balance. And so, you know, you're right that there is this idea that, especially with some of the West Coast concepts that it uses with a lot of the short controlled passing and the two-step drops, it's all about, you know, forcing the defense to respect it and opening space for the running game. But then if you can't step in and run the ball effectively, at some point people stop worrying about it and they commit more people to stop in the pass.
Hub Arkush is with us, and we are discussing the Chicago Bears and the NFL, or more specifically, you are, via the phone lines. So we continue. Oak Park is the next stop. Chuck is on the score with Hub.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Chuck.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Fine.
Good, thanks.
Good. Okay, my main question that I have right now is, has the lack of offensive line and game planning caused for us to take a step back as far as the outlook of how this offense is supposed to work? Because what I was seeing last night when we were watching KC, you see them come out with double tight ends. They work the trickery. They hand it off to the fullback underneath, and it opens up later on in the game more options for them to look downfield, to even see different running options because they were able to, you know, get them going on that first play. Is our lack of having that offensive line and having, you know, just the ability and trust in our quarterback now cause us to regress and not be able to have plays like that open up for us to then open up a bigger game plan?
You know, Chuck, I get everybody's frustration and impatience, and I'm not saying it's impatience. It's week seven now, the sixth week of the season. But, you know, actually that Chiefs team last night had as banged up an offensive line as they've had in the Andy Reid era. And that offensive line you saw last night probably wasn't as good as what the Bears will put on Sunday. I think, you know, when they're healthy and they're 100%, they are better. But and I get your question. I don't agree that this offense has regressed. It just hasn't gotten better. It hasn't developed. It hasn't become what everybody hoped and believed it would be when Matt Nagy got here. This is not the Kansas City offense. This is Matt Nagy's version of the Kansas City offense. And I think what we're all forgetting is that this team was 3-3 last year and a horrible loss to the Dolphins coming off the bye. And you know, as hard as it is, we're going to have to be a little more patient, wait a little longer, and see what this is going to be. This is a pretty dramatic change with Kyle Long now done for the year and this kid Rashad Coward stepping in. Charles Leno, through five games, has been a bigger part of the problem than Kyle Long. And I don't think anybody at Hallis Hall disputes that. And he's got to get his act together. And we'll see, you know, what the bye week has done for him. So, you've got those issues. Trey Burton has never been 100%. You know, Taylor Gabriel finally came on, had the game of his career, and then sat down for 2 weeks. Rather than make any blanket statements about it, I want to give it a couple more weeks. The thing, guys, that absolutely blew me away was everybody ready to write off the Bears defense after the London game. You know, and I get that Akeem Hicks is important, but you got to look at how much all-pro talent is still there, how deep they are, and realize that since Khalil Mack arrived, they've had two bad games, really bad games. One was in Miami last year coming out of the bye when they gave up over 500 yards, and that was the game Mack got hurt in, and the other one was London. Other than that, nobody's gotten anywhere near 400 yards on them. Nobody's put up a bunch of points on them. You got to remember the Patriots even had two special teams touchdowns. And so, you know, the Chargers are 2-4. The Cowboys are 3-3. The Eagles are 3-3. The Rams are 3-3. We have to take a step back on this. And I know nobody wants to do that. But and it's going to be another couple weeks at least, because whatever you see from Mitch Trubisky Sunday can't be 100% of Mitch Trubisky with him playing in that harness on that non-throwing shoulder. And even though they won't admit it, they don't want him running around the football field and taking shots on that shoulder. So it's just going to take a little while longer before it can give you better of these kind of big picture answers that we're looking for.
In Lafayette, Indiana, this is Seth. He's on Sports Radio 670 with Hub.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Fine.
Good, Seth.
Good. Hey, Hub, pertaining to that defense, I was just wondering, with Akeem down, what you were expecting out of Roquan Smith now that he's had a little more time versus like the first few weeks Roquan, or what we saw in London Roquan? Thank you.
You know, Seth, I'm glad you asked that question, because that's another little bit of a false narrative going on out there. People should go back and turn on the tape, as painful as it is. He wasn't the special Roquan that we've seen a few times that we're expecting, but he wasn't that awful against the Raiders. He played the same way everybody else did. The defense came up flat. They had a bad game. We have no more clarity today than we did 3 weeks ago, you know, what's going on with Roquan. And maybe that's appropriate because it's his personal business. But as far as how it's going to affect him on the football field, I'm going to be very surprised if you don't see Roquan and 10 other guys flying all over the place Sunday against New Orleans. Now, that can be dangerous against New Orleans, you know, so we'll see what happens. I am not worried about him yet. What we do know is that whatever these issues are, they're not physical. I mean, he's 100% physical, and so I think you have every reason to expect that he's going to continue on what appeared to be a Pro Bowl / All-Pro type path before this started. You know, short of whatever the issues are, which, again, may not be my business, but not knowing them, it's hard for me to kind of evaluate where he's going.
To Mike in St. Charles on the Score.
Hi, Hub. My question kind of revolves around the ground game. We don't have a back then to get a 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2. We don't have a fullback. We don't have a back that can reliably catch out of the backfield. And I know why Ryan Nall was put on the practice squad. We have all the other backs, but I would think he would be a good solution for what, you know, to fill in those roles. He can catch out of the backfield. He can.
Ass hurts.
So that's my question.
Go Bears!
But obviously, Birdsey doesn't like your question.
I don't think he's a fan. No. If, you know what, Hub? We're gonna mute our microphones real quick. I'm going to check with Dan and see what he really thinks about this. We'll get back to you, but you go ahead and knock this one down.
It sounded like Dan redid. It sounded like he just redid his medical procedure. So by the way, welcome
to the
club.
Found Ryan Nall.
Yeah, I had my gift at 50 and 60. So, you know, guys, I happen to agree with Mike, to be honest with you. I don't think Ryan Nall is the answer to their problems. I do think that Ryan Nall is probably one of the four best running backs under contract with the Bears right now. I don't know what more he can do to prove it. He's been their best in two preseasons, not as a fullback. I know people want to go there. That's kind of an interesting thing. We've had this fullback thing come up a couple times now this morning, because the Chiefs, during the development of this offense, had one of the best fullbacks in the league in Anthony Sherman, and always carried a fullback. So, again, this is where I try and distinguish between what Matt Nagy decided to do this year by not re-signing Michael Burton, and you know, maybe that was partially in response to the problems with the running game, which he acknowledged on a couple occasions last year. The coaches had to evaluate what they were doing too. So this stuff is all up in the air. But as far as Ryan Nall, I don't agree that the Bears don't have a back who can go 3rd and short. I think that, again, has been scheme and offensive line problems. I encourage everybody to go back and watch the 4 starts that Cordarrelle Patterson had at running back for the New England Patriots last year. The man is 6'2", 228 pounds, and he does not go down on first or second contact. The problem is that, you know, you go all the way back to the Packers game. Kenny Clark, who's one of the best nose tackles in the league, just blew that play up. That's going to happen once in a while. And for the most part, on this short yardage stuff, they haven't been able to block it appropriately. Or maybe it was the wrong play call. I don't know. But again, it's a scheme and a system thing. It's not these isolated instances that you want to look at. I love the idea of using Cordarrelle Patterson that way. So, you know, two different issues. I don't think Ryan Nall is necessarily the answer to that problem, but the more I watch this running game struggle, the more I'd love to see this kid get his shot, because I think he's earned it. But apparently the coaches don't agree.
This segment is brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and the bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Watch the Chicago Wolves take on the Rockford IceHogs tonight on My50 Chicago, and get out to Allstate Arena tomorrow and Sunday to see the Wolves battle the IceHogs and the Milwaukee Admirals. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Greg and Valpo, you're on the Score with Hub.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I understand that everybody's starting to realize that the offensive line
a big part of the problem, but I don't think that they quite understand that it is a major part of the problem, because you have an inexperienced quarterback who can't compensate when somebody misses the blocking assignment. I don't know how many times I watched Kyle Long and James Daniels after a play standing there with their hands down to the side wondering what they were supposed to do. But my major question is, do you believe that a healthy, inexperienced Coward is better for our offense right now than injured Kyle Long? Thank you.
Two things. One that I meant to mention to a previous questioner, and you just brought it up again. Just trying to straighten out what's real and what's not. The pass protection really hadn't been a problem until Oakland. Pass protection had been better than average in the first four games. It was the run blocking where they were struggling. Again, it hasn't been the worst offensive line I've ever seen. They're not blocking the run well. They were actually doing a pretty nice job. I mean, you go back and watch the Minnesota tape, and when Chase Daniel came in, he had no problems whatsoever, and they weren't giving up many sacks. And Mitch hasn't been running, so that wasn't really the issue. Now, in Oakland, it all broke down. In answer to your question, because Rashad Coward is a converted defensive lineman who's only been playing offensive line for a year and a half, and who, to my knowledge, was not taking reps at guard until a few weeks ago. I certainly didn't see any of it in Bourbonnais. I can't tell you if he's better. I can tell you that it's promising, because certainly a healthy physical specimen with a nasty attitude, which Rashad does have, is better than a guy trying to play hurt and clearly unable to get the job done on a consistent basis. So, we have every reason to hope that it will be better. But the flip side of that is that prior to the injuries starting 3 years, four seasons ago, Kyle Long was one of, if not the best guards in football. Is Rashad Coward going to be that? I can't even begin to guess at that until we get some tape on him.
Back to St. Charles and Robin with Hub on the Score.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Connor.
Hey, Hub, hey Robin.
Hub, the Bears have 2 second-round picks next year. Do you think Leonard Williams from the Jets is worth trading one of those second-round picks for, given they can work out an extension for him? It seems like a great short-term solution for the Hicks injury, plus pairing him with a healthy Hicks and Eddie Goldman next year could really provide something special on that D-line. Thanks.
Thank you.
No, only because I think Bilal Nichols has the chance to be really, really good, and I think Roy Robertson-Harris already is really, really good. I think I mentioned this once before and didn't go back and do my homeworks, but I'll bring it up again. I've been under the impression that Roy Robertson-Harris was free to cash in at the end of this year, but now my understanding with that contract, Connor, you and I talked about this.
Yeah, we did. Restricted free agent.
Yeah, he's going to be restricted again next year. So, you know, when you look at the wealth of talent there, you know, with Nichols and Robertson-Harris and even Nick Williams, who's looked good, and Akeem should come back fine. I think it's going to take longer than 8 weeks. I think this week 15 stuff is silly if the injury is what I think it is. And again, this is my only real bitch with Matt Nagy. He's honest with us about, you know, when players are hurt and when they're practicing and what's likely and doubtful and questionable, but they never tell us what the injury actually was. You know, they give us a body part, which is, I guess, better than upper or lower in hockey. So without knowing the specifics of, you know, the confirmation I would like to know that elbow was dislocated or something, can't guess at it, but I'm off the subject now. That's to me, that Leonard Williams can be a great player, has not consistently been a great player with the Jets, is worth a second-round pick, but not to the Bears at an area of strength. If they were going to deal one of those picks, I'd be on the phone with the Bengals right now, and I'd have A.J. Green in a Bears uniform in a couple weeks. I'd be on the phone with the Redskins right now, and I'd have Trent Williams in a Bears uniform in a couple weeks. So I'm not ruling out that they could do something with one or both of those picks that could help them, you know, maybe chase a title this year. But those are probably the three best names you're going to hear now that Jalen Ramsey has been dealt, and of the three, Leonard Williams would probably interest me the most, not because he's not a great football player, but because I don't see the need.
This segment's brought to you by your Chicagoland Papa John's. Papa John's is giving you a free pizza this weekend. Buy one pizza at regular price and get a second pizza of equal or lesser value for free. Use promo code FREEPIZZADAY on the Papa John's app or online at papajohns.com. That's promo code FREEPIZZADAY. Hub, outstanding stuff. What do you think about this game?
You know, guys, we haven't mentioned it yet. I don't know if you've been talking about it this morning, but I've got two picks for this game. We make our picks early in the week and they're in print, and I never go off the picks. And because the Saints, to me, are the best team in the NFC right now, mm-hmm. I can't justify picking the Bears over them, and I picked the Saints 16-13. However, that was before I knew that Alvin Kamara was reported to have a high ankle sprain last Sunday, did not practice Wednesday, did not practice yesterday. If he doesn't practice today, and even if he's limited in practice, I think he doesn't go Sunday. And if Alvin Kamara doesn't go, I think the Bears win the football game.
There you have it. Hub, thank you.
Thanks, Hub.
All right, guys, take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.